The following is a production of Central Christian Center and Pastor Hank DeLotte.
I'll just make a prophecy or an announcement now that whatever this church is or ever has been, it will never be the same again. And that's for the good. And I'm asking God to change us and make us whoever He wants us to be. How about that? There's so much we can't even begin to talk about the gratitude and thankfulness to everybody. Hundreds and hundreds of workers showing up over here, and not only over here but all over town. Volunteers coming from everywhere. Jim Wyckoff, Jim Pam brought a group from Tulsa the other day, and they not only brought trailers and stuff full of things, they came and they worked all day delivering stuff to people. But just so much. We even got some Latter-day Saints over here bringing some trucks in, and Dad's coming Monday with some more stuff. And when I said about the table, if you're in here, that isn't just if you go to church here. If you're in here, if you know somebody that's lost everything, I mean, you get us some information. And we got stuff over here. We've had 10 semi-trailers in so far, 25 large box trucks with trailers, 50 pickups with trailers, and there's too many pickups and cars to count that have been bringing stuff in. To our knowledge right now, we've got 53 families that have been either totally wiped out or sustained heavy damage. And like I said, we've lost two of our brothers. We've lost Stan Kirk and Rob Bateson. So we want to remember those families. And I don't know. I would love to start naming names, but there's just too many. And God has proven Himself strong. I want to talk to you just a little bit here today because it's funny. Well, nothing's funny, but it's funny that I've been for 8 or at least 2 months, I've been in the 8th chapter of Nehemiah. And I've tried to preach it at least 4 times in the last 2 months. And it's what I was aiming to preach last week. And right at the end, the message changed. And I wish I wouldn't have talked about storms and stuff last week, but I'm having a whole lot of people call that say that it helped them. But I was looking in Nehemiah. This today is a recovery service, so if you need to come at any time, and we'll pray with you. And let me just say this: Joplin might have got knocked down, but we didn't get knocked out. We're going to show the world how tough we are and how tough our God is, and we're not going to be Baptist and Christian Church and Methodist and Presbyterians and Latter. We're not going to be any of that stuff anymore. We're going to be God's people, and whatever name tag we got on us, praise God, it's a good name tag. But listen, we're going to be God's people and His army. And Nehemiah 8 is an interesting chapter. Nehemiah, you know Nehemiah probably. He was I don't know if he was a city official or a state official, but he was one of the king's boys, and the king gave him permission to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah, he comes back, and man, I mean, he's got all kinds of opposition. He's got all kinds of flack coming from people, and he's got everybody telling him he can't get it done and all the rest of this stuff. And he comes back, and he encourages the people to get started working. And in 52 days, they have the walls built back around the city. But Nehemiah 8 is an interesting chapter because now they've got the walls. They've got the walls built up around the city. And now it's time to build the inner city. And so Nehemiah 8, it's amazing, this isn't any of the sermons that I was going to talk about in Nehemiah, but so you might hear a lot about Nehemiah for a while, but it's an interesting thing. Just a few highlights that I want to highlight this morning, but you know, it says in Nehemiah 8, and it says, and all the people gathered themselves as one man. Now, if you'll study and get to calculating in the beginning of Nehemiah here, you'll find out that there's 50,000 people. Almost the size of Joplin. Just about the same size as Joplin. Anyway, but there's 50,000 people, and all 50,000 of these people show up together as one man. I thought that was neat. And they show up as one man, and you know what the first thing, what they start saying? What they show up as one man, and they start saying to Ezra, they start saying, now Ezra was evidently the preacher. Nehemiah was the getter-dunner man, you know, but they said all these 50,000 people show up, and the first thing they say is, where's the book? Where's the book? 50,000 people show up and they say, where's the Bible? Where's the Word of God? And I just thought that was so amazing, because they've got structure built, but they realize that if they're going to build city now, you know, that they're going to have the Word of God. They're going to have to put God first place. And so here 50,000 people show up and they say, where's the Word? Where's the law? Where's the book? And they evidently throw a fit till somebody finds the book, somebody finds the Bible and brings it to them. And he brings it to them, and just an overview, he brings it to them and he starts reading it, and it says they're all gathered in here, 50,000, trying to get as close as they can get. No air conditioning, no electricity, probably had a boil order, you know, I mean, they in a bad shape, and they all show up and say, where's the Word? And they all show up together, and they crowd in, and they didn't have microphones, so they got to try to get as close as they, think about it, you're in 50,000 people, and you're like this, and they're crowding, and they're pushing, they're wanting to hear the Word of God. And Ezra gets up and reads, and I like this part, he gets up and preaches a 6-hour sermon. I like that. Well, don't worry, I'm not going to preach a 6-hour sermon tonight or today. But he gets up, talks for 5 or 6 hours, just speaking the Word. And I just thought that was so unique. But Ezra puts the Word, and the significance of this to me today is that the Word has to come first place. God has to come first place. And I want everybody that hears me, and I know many of you watching this on TV, you won't get this message till next week, but I'm telling you, if you get this message, the fight's not over yet. We're still in the battle. We might be at a different phase. All the trucks might be slowing down to come in, but there's still a lot of things to be done. And all you that are watching out there, listen, don't forget us in 2 or 3 weeks, because the battle will still be going on. We'll still be fighting for our life. And I'm just telling the world, anybody that can hear this, we're going to fight. We're going to fight till we win. We're going to build our city back. And it's going to be better than it was before the devil tried to tear it up. And let there be no misunderstanding. I'll say it like a guy I saw when they finally turned the TV on the other night, that they interviewed him, and he made a statement. He said, they call this an act of God. He said, I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense. And I said, praise God. Preach it, brother. Preach it. But God's going to take what the devil did to try to knock us out. He's going to take it and make us stronger than we've ever been before. But to do that, we're going to have to be built on the Word of God. I didn't say on Central's doctrine. I didn't say on your doctrine. I said we're going to have to be built on the Word of God. Let me tell you something. It's going to amaze you at how fast this town gets cleaned up. It's going to amaze the world at how fast houses and structures start going up. I come down Main. I don't know what day it was. I didn't know today was Sunday until yesterday. Okay, and I went, oh, it's Sunday already tomorrow. But structure's already going up. It's, you know, and it's going to amaze the world at how fast we build back. But the only one that can build people back is God. And that's where our focus needs to be while we're in the rest, in all this mess. The only one that can put you back together again is God. And I'm here to say, you've got a God that loves you. God didn't do this mess, but God's going to take this mess that the enemy did, and He's going to turn it around for our good. And I know many listening to me, you've lost everything, and some of you have lost loved ones. And I'm telling you, God's going to turn it into strength for you. You just keep hanging in there. You just keep your head up. You just keep a smile on your face. I'm like some of you. I go home and because I still got a house, I feel guilty. But I come in and I see these people that have lost everything, and they're out here trying to get stuff to people that didn't lose as much as they lost. Just amazing, amazing. Let's get back to what we're talking about. You can rebuild the buildings, but only God can rebuild the people. And I'm just telling you, God wants to touch you. He wants to build you. He wants to put your life back together again. He wants to help you. He does love you. And He's here to give you strength if you want it. And so anyway, Ezra shows up and all that, and he reads the word, and you know, if you'll read through there, there's all little kinds of things that show that they elevated the word. I learned where we got the pulpit from and why we set the pulpits up higher. I mean, it all came from those days, and it was all in an effort to show that God is higher than us, and God, to show respect to God and to His word, and to show honor to His word. And I got to thinking about this, and an amazing thing that I saw in here was that Ezra, get my breath here. I told Chris up here, he came up to sit with me. I appreciate that, man. I told him, I said, I thought I got all the crying out of my system this morning. I woke up at 4:20 just to start early so I could get it all out. But then I had to drive in through the mess. But an amazing thing that I saw in here is that Ezra stood and there was people on each side of him. There was people that stood with him. And I began to understand that, you know, none of us can stand by ourselves. We got to have each other. And I encourage all of you, find out some of these people that are hurting. Some of these people, we've got to stand together and we've got to help each other. We've got to stand with people in our community. We've got to stand with them and we've got to help. And I see all kinds of barriers and walls. I've been in neighborhoods this week where neighbors didn't even know each other before this thing happened. And you know, and they said, man, I've got to know all the people in this block. There's some pretty good people live here. And I thought, you know, I've been trying to tell people for years there were some pretty good people living in Joplin. Nobody believed me. You're some pretty good people. But anyway, There was people that stood with him. And you know, can I say something? Now is the time for children of God to arise. Okay? Now is the time. We can't wait for somebody from the outside to come in. Now's the time that those of us that call ourselves Christians, and those of us that are born again, those of us that are the children of God, it's time for us to raise up and be those children of God, and let him exercise his power through us. And let me say this, hurting people don't need any more sermons. Hurting people need to see God. They need to see Jesus. They need to see Him, and the only way they can see Him is in you and in I, in me. That's the only way they can see Him. And this kind of brought it all into perspective, what I'm trying to say. I've heard so many stories, and every day, and some of them are heartbreaking, and some of them are miracles, and it just, the other day, the group from Tulsa that came, and Pam Wyckoff, I go across the aisle, and she says, Hank, she wanted a hug or something, you know, and so we got a hug, and she had to tell me this story. She said, I got into this neighborhood. Nobody had been in this neighborhood yet, and I got in there, and she said, I knocked on the door, and the lady came and said, we were talking to her, and I asked her, I said, can I pray for you? And the lady said, lady, I got prayer up to here. I haven't ate in 3 days. So I said, now isn't the time. Hey, by the way, they did fill their house up with stuff, and filled their neighborhood up with stuff before they got done. And we've still got neighborhoods out here that haven't been touched yet, and we've still got several semis over here that need to be distributed. We've still got semis coming in that I know of all the way until next weekend. I've got a man flying, or four men flying, meals in Tuesday. Enough meals to feed 4,500 people. Things are happening. People are coming in. Trucks are coming in. And we've got to rise up as Christians and do what needs to be done. And so I'm not just saying that for you, because many of you are, man, you've been fighting your own turf, and you've been, you know, you've been trying to clear you off a spot to stay. But help us spread the word, because we're every place we go, if you see any distribution points that don't have enough stuff, we're trying to send trailers to them. If any places are out of stuff, or if there's any places that don't have it yet, hey, we can just divert some of these semis to go there and unload the stuff there. But it's time now for people to see Jesus. And we have, like Lori said, we have a unique opportunity. We have a unique opportunity. I wish it would have happened a different way. But sometimes it takes some pain when you give birth, right? Let's don't go there again. I'm not ever going to preach that message again. Okay, but anyway, they don't need to see God. And by the way, I want to read a portion out of Isaiah 57 or 58. I came by some scriptures just I think supernaturally. I mean, I'm not ever usually reading these things. Anyway, I want to read you something out of Isaiah 58, and I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. And as I read this, and when I got done, I felt like the Spirit of God spoke in my heart. You know, I'm not spooky, not trying to get spooky. I just felt something, and I felt like I heard a voice that said, this is a prophecy for Joplin. But it says this. It says, if you get rid of your unfair practices, quit blaming victims. Isaiah 58, 9 through 12. Quit blaming victims. Quit gossiping about other people's sins. If you're generous with the hungry and start giving yourself to the down and out, your lives will begin to grow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will begin to be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of the past lives to build anew. to rebuild the foundations from out of the past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything. You'll be known as those who can restore old ruins. You'll be known as those who can rebuild and renovate and make the community livable again. And I want to read the last verse, wherever it is. I'll just read it out of here. I didn't write it out of the Message Bible. But the last verse says, "Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride on the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." I believe that's a prophecy for Joplin. And I'm telling you, devil, we are going to rise out of the ashes. We are going to rise out of the rubble. We are going to build again. And I'm going to tell you why we're going to do it, in case anybody doesn't know, in case any demons don't know, in case any forces of hell don't know. We're going to do it because we serve a living God, because we serve a God that loves us and cares about us. We serve a God who wants to prove Himself strong through us. And we're going to rebuild our city. This time we're going to include God in it. That's not going to happen from pulpits. That's going to happen from neighborhoods. That's not going to happen just from preachers. That's going to happen from every child of God in this area. I don't know about you, but I'm volunteering for the task. How about you? And I'll say this is my last point, and then I think I want us just to sing some more. And some of you in here today, maybe some of you in here today aren't saved, and you don't know for sure if you would have gone in this storm. You don't know for sure that you'd be with God today. Those two men I mentioned a while ago, we don't want to miss them. We didn't want them to leave, but they're happier than we are today. They're with the Lord today. And so we're gonna sing some more. But I ran into a carload of people as they were coming through getting some stuff over here, and they'd been through the storm, and I guess they'd lost about everything, and they came through the storm, and the one man called me, Pastor Hank, and I ran over there to him, and he said, "Remember me?" And I said, "I remember you." He said, "We went through it," but said, "We all got saved last Sunday. There were a group of people over here, and they all got saved last Sunday." And I said, "You know what? I believe that everyone that the enemy snuffed out, I believe that every one of them were saved. I believe there was a time in everyone, even if it was right before they died, that they called on the name of the Lord, and they're with Him now. I believe that. Anyway, so he ends up here. The last thought in this. He ends up here, and listen, right now there's a lot of mourning, there's a lot of weeping, there's a lot of hurting, and we're the only ones. We have the only thing that can put some salve on those hurts, on those wounds. We have the only thing that can offer them any ray of hope. His name's Jesus, and we have to share it. Again, they don't need a sermon. They need somebody to put their arm around them. They need somebody to love them. They need somebody to sit and cry with them. They need somebody to take them some stuff they need. They need somebody that, they just need to know that somebody cares. I talked with a family, they didn't have anything left. They didn't want anything. They just wanted to know if anybody cared. They knew somebody cared before I left. They had some stuff before I left too. But it ends up here after they've read the word, and it says everybody says all the people wept. They were all crying and they were all mourning, and I had a real good sermon about all these points, and we'll still do that. I'm not trying to take anything out of context, but I couldn't help but see that they were all mourning and they were all weeping. And I couldn't help but draw the parallel between what happened then and us, you know. And we have a lot of people weeping now, have a lot of people hurting now. But I want to tell you the same thing, that all these people that were with Ezra, if you'll look in there, it says all these people that were with him, all these people that were by his side, all these people, they took what he said, they took the word of God, and they went in, and it says they helped the people understand. They helped them understand. They took this stuff, and they went out, and they helped the people understand. They didn't talk to them in King James. They told them about a God that loves them. They put their arm around them. They loved them. They cared for them. They helped them understand. And we've got people all over our area. They don't understand. They don't need some pious something. They don't need some kind of religion. They don't need anything. They need a real person to go tell them about a real God and tell them about a real Jesus. This is what they told them in verses 9 and 10. This is what they told them. This is what God said to tell them. This is what Ezra said to tell them. It says, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not and weep not. Goes on in verse 10, says, and he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto those who have nothing, to whom nothing is prepared, for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We have the good news. We have the message of the gospel. We have what all our hurting brothers and sisters need. And I'm telling you, many of you in here today, many of you watching this, you're hurting. But you want to know the quickest way to get through that hurt is go help somebody else that's hurting. The quickest way. So I'll end it with this word out of Isaiah 61. I read this out of the Message Bible again. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of God, the Master, is on me because God anointed me. Now this was prophecy about Jesus, but it could be prophecy about you. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce freedom to all captives, pardon to all prisoners. God sent me to announce the year of His grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, who's the devil, and comfort to all who mourn, to care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion. Give them bouquets of roses instead of ashes, messages of joy instead of news of doom, a praising heart instead of a languished spirit. He renamed them oaks of righteousness, planted by God to display His glory. We've got the message. We've been anointed by God to share the good news. Jesus not only said, I've finished it, I've completed it. He said, now, He not only said, all the authority, all the power has been given to me. He said, now, you go in it, Hank. You go in it, put your name there. And I want to read these next two verses because I had never read them before. He says, they'll rebuild the old ruins. They'll raise a new city out of the wreckage. They'll start over on the ruined cities. They'll take the rubble left behind and make it new. I'm talking to you about the power of God and what He can do. He'll do it for us. He'll do it for this town. He'll do it for you. He loves you. I want everybody to stand. Let's sing. Let's sing something here. If any of the singers want to come back, we're going to sing. We're going to just worship God a little bit afterwards as we do. But I just want anybody here. I said something a while ago in the offering. God, we just need a hug. And I just want anybody here who just needs a hug from God, just come down. We'll make sure you get it. Anybody here who doesn't know Jesus, don't know for sure whether you're saved or not, you just come while these others are coming. Don't worry about it. Some of you have been devastated. Why don't you just come down? God wants to give you a hug. Anybody who needs a touch from Him, just come down. God wants to give you a hug. If you need to be saved, you come. Maybe you just need to be rededicated, you come. Maybe you just need to pray, you come. Maybe you just need somebody to put their arm around you and give you a hug, you come. Maybe you just need to come put your arm around somebody and hug them.